A reading from Luke chapter 14. One Sabbath, when he went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. And behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. Then he took him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, "Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out?" And they could not reply to these things. Now he told a parable to those who were invited, when he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this person.' And then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. O Lord, have mercy on us."
Thanks be to God.
So the hymn you just got done singing poses quite a contrast, doesn't it? Seek where you may find a way that leads to your salvation. My heart is still. On Christ I build. He is the one foundation. Seek whom you may be your stay. None can redeem his brother. All helpers failed. This man prevailed. The God-man and none other. But I'm not sure the question being posed in this hymn today is any longer the question today as to in whom we have eternal salvation. It is said of the Pharisees that they were a self-righteous bunch, that they believed that they could get to heaven by their own good works. But I'm not really sure they all cared about eternal life that much. They began as a sect, not wanting ever again to be a people in exile, and their religion only deteriorated from there. I think they were more concerned about having earthly religious control and exalting themselves above all others here on earth, building their own earthly kingdom and having everyone else under their rule. It takes Jesus to redirect them to their greatest need, to have eternal Sabbath through his humiliation on the cross and grave, and then, of course, his glorious resurrection, and what that means for faith and life on earth, for the Pharisees, for you, and for me. Oh, they probably wanted to go to heaven. They probably believed they deserved heaven. We're told they believed in a heaven. But was it really Jesus' heaven that they wanted? And if so, then why are they rebelling against him and continually debating him? Why did they finally kill the one who could give them his eternal heaven? Apparently, Jesus was invited by the Pharisees for dinner on the Sabbath. Don't you hear some inconsistencies there? If you don't work on the Sabbath, who prepared the meal? If religious fellowship is expressed by those who eat with you, then why did they invite Jesus, whom they opposed? And if a person with edema, the swelling of the body, was a sign of being religiously and sinfully unclean, then why did the Pharisees invite this man with dropsy? It appears this man with dropsy was planted as a trap to destroy Jesus, to prove Jesus a fake, to prove that he was not righteous, and certainly to destroy any claim of him being God or the giver of salvation. Shame and honor. The culture of that day was to shame your opponent in order to give honor to yourself before your supporting audience. One should be careful, however, when inviting Jesus into the debate. One should be careful when inviting Jesus to dinner. You never know what he's going to say or do. And who is there to kick Jesus under the table, like my wife has done from time to time? I think you better be quiet now, Jim. And so here we are at dinner with a bunch of men who are more than willing to give up everything they say they stand for in order to bring Jesus to ruin. Placing a sick man before Jesus on the Sabbath, knowing that Jesus is going to be inclined to heal him. And then they can nab him for breaking the Sabbath laws. Not God's Sabbath laws, but their own man-made Sabbath laws. And Jesus responds then, looking at them, with a question. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? Well, let's just step out on a contemporary limb here. Is it lawful to protect the unborn or not? Is it lawful to protect the sanctity of marriage or not? Is it lawful to confess that there is salvation in no one except Jesus or not? And there are the Pharisees and the world staring at him, waiting for him to trip himself up. And we stay silent. The Pharisees stay silent. Let's substitute this poor, decrepit, unclean man with dropsy with their own son. Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into the well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out? Jesus confronts us, doesn't he? He confronts us with our own man-made laws, with our own religious politics, with our legalistic stubbornness, with who he is. Jesus turns their petty little games, their aversion for earthly power, and their deceptive religiosity into defining who he is. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. He is our body and soul's Sabbath rest. And even while we may not be seeking a way to find a way that leads to salvation, Jesus comes to eat with us, and he fixes our eyes on him, who is our redemption from sin and eternal death. Luther is known to use Aesop's fables in his teachings. A wolf left his den one evening, feeling energetic and hungry. As he ran, the setting sun cast a shadow far out on the ground. The wolf looked at his shadow and saw himself 100 times bigger than he was. And the wolf exclaimed proudly, "See how big I am. Fancy me running away from a puny lion. I'll show him who is fit to be king, he or I. Just then, an immense shadow blotted him out entirely, and the next instant, a lion struck him down with a single blow. The Pharisees measured themselves by their shadow, thinking themselves to be big, larger even than the Lion of Judah. Quite amazing, isn't it? Grown people invited to a wedding feast, running around like in musical chairs to see who gets the highest honor. We'll run into each other, we'll push each other down, we'll destroy one another, see whose shadow is the largest, confident that we deserve the best seats in the palace. And yet we come into this feasting hall today, small and sinful. We come here once again and we sit in these chairs of repentance. We confess that we deserve the lowest place. We deserve hell, though we'd settle to be a doorkeeper in the Lord's house. We come here once again to this wedding hall, the place where his glory dwells. The bridegroom hangs from a cross in order to wash us with his own blood. He rises and he calls us into his kingdom. He cleanses us in the water of our baptism, and he gives us, you, eternal life. Now we who once were swelling with the edema of sin now bask in the forgiveness of sin and good works. We bask in salvation and humility. We bask humbly seated in this banquet hall where he comes to meet us, his bride, clothing us with his pure righteousness and feeding us with his holy word. Jesus Christ healed us on the Sabbath because he is the Sabbath. All who are in him have forgiveness and peace and eternal rest in his death and resurrection. And that's every one of us. He humbled himself, and from the cross he calls us to himself, come unto me, you weary and heavy laden, and I will give you Sabbath. And the risen Lion of Judah, the Lord of the Sabbath, the bridegroom of the church, invites you, come, higher, come, sit on the throne that I prepared for you. Come, wear this crown of eternal life that I've won for you. Come, for blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Jesus redirects our sinful hearts' longing for this world to this. My heart's delight, my crown most bright, O Christ, my joy forever. Not wealth, nor pride, nor fortune's tide our bonds of love shall sever. You are my Lord. Your precious word shall guide my way and help me stay forever in your presence. Amen.